all done with the series on covenants we've been doing. And this is a message I've been, a thought, something I'm trying to figure out. I'm still not done with it yet. I've been gnawing on for many, many years, and I've not figured it out all yet. But this is partway along the way where I want to figure out. We'll talk a little bit about that. 1 Kings 19, and I want to talk about still and quiet. And 1 Kings 19, I'm going to start at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat." It's my kind of angel. Feed you, you sleep, and he wakes you up and says, "Eat again." And why don't I get that angel? And said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither to the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the Lord God of hosts, and for the children of Israel, forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood at the entering into the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it." And the Lord said unto him, "Go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest out, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray that I would faithfully teach what you have for tonight, Lord, and rightly divide your word. And I pray that you just give us the ability to transcend our society, Father, and the ability to see outside of what we think and the way we feel comfortable doing things. And I pray tonight that your word would change us and fix our thinking, Lord. And may we have renewed minds. And we just ask that your spirit would control and give me every word, and please empower these words and thoughts, and speak to us as we listen tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a lot in this story and a lot of things. Of course, Elijah was very discouraged and upset and scared because Jezebel said she was going to kill him. So he ran off in the wilderness, left his servant there, ran a couple more days into the wilderness. So he ran several days into the wilderness and went to be alone, sat down underneath a juniper tree, and said, "It's better for me to die." And basically, what people do, he was depressed, just like people get depressed now. And when you're depressed, you get sleepy and you want to sit down and do nothing and wish to die. And it's not like all of a sudden something changed in 2010 in America that hasn't been there throughout all history of time. People always gotten depressed. Somehow they made it without Prozac and lithium somehow. Throughout history, but he was there, and an angel came up to him and says, "Here, eat." And so he ate, and then he went to sleep, got back up. The angel said, "Eat again." And then he ate, and then he went for 40 days and 40 nights, went out in the middle of a different wilderness and under the mount of God, and the Lord met him there and said, "What are you doing here?" And it's a great question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Same question he asked him a couple different times. What are you doing here? He went where he wanted to go and just ran. And by the way, you don't get out of the presence of the Lord when you run. You have to run real far, like out of all the universe. And you're still not there because God is wherever. He's everywhere. And so Jonah tried to run from the presence of God, and he ran, and God said, "What are you doing here?" And by the way, can I tell you, you don't run from your problems and get away from them. It doesn't work. It just is. You just got to face your problems and face your worries. And the same God who brought fire down from heaven, Elijah, could probably bring fire down on Jezebel's head if you needed it to happen. God can take care of you. And that's that. But we're not always logical, as humans aren't. And so in the middle here, up in the mountain, God's voice came eventually. But first came a huge wind. Was it windy where y'all were today? It was windy today, and it was a good wind blowing. And I was actually part of the day right down on the water here in Des Moines, and there was a channel of wind that kind of went through some spots, and it was just blowing, and it was cool. But this wind that came by on this mountain was so powerful that it said it ripped the mountain. Now, I've been in some pretty good wind storms, but nothing that rips mountains. That's a pretty intense wind. I remember when we were kids, we had a big storm that came when I was a kid. I was probably 12, 13. And they got a name for it. It was a Columbus Day or some certain day, the storm they named it. It was good. It blew all everybody's shed in their backyard, through the neighbor's fence and everywhere. And it was pretty good. We went out in it like dummies. We thought it was the coolest thing in the world. All those kids did. And it was the funnest thing in the world because you could just lay back and the wind just held you up. You couldn't fall down. And then you jump and you land way up there. And it was a cool thing. We were the only crazy enough ones to go out in it. Everybody else was scared to death. And we were having fun. And that was a strong wind. They said it got up to 80 miles per hour. And it was pretty powerful. And it was a good wind. It was sustained at 60 and 70, I think. And it was almost hurricane force winds. My wife and I went one time to Canada for a vacation. And we had to take a ferry over to an island near Victoria. And we didn't know there was a huge storm coming. And I remember the big ferry just kept going back and forth like this sideways. And I thought, this can't be normal because it's kind of an uneasy feeling. I mean, because things are, you know, it was like in a movie. Everything's rolling back this way and rolling back this way. And I went up to one of the people who worked there. I said, "Does it normally rock this bad?" He says, "No, there's hurricane winds out there." And I guess the winds were getting up over 100 miles per hour out there. And that was a big wind. It was pretty cool. But it wasn't ripping mountains. But this big wind comes by, and Elijah gets the tension, but God wanted to talk to Elijah, but the voice of God was not in the wind. Then comes a big earthquake and shakes the whole verse 11. "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." So the Lord passes by, the great wind comes by, rocks are breaking, things are ripping apart. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after that an earthquake. But the Lord is not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. About time to get off that mountain. And after the earthquake, a fire. So you got an earthquake, you got a great wind, you got a fire coming as the Lord passes by. And after the fire, but he was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And after Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in a mantle so he wouldn't look upon God and went out and stood upon the entry into the cave. And behold, it came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" So Elijah goes out of the cave to go and hear the voice of God because he heard a still small voice. Doesn't say what that voice said. And just a couple things about that voice. First of all, the voice was still. Now, it's describing the voice of God. We all think of the voice of God. We think of the old movies in the 60s, you know, Ten Commandments, all those things. And "Elijah, what doest thou here?" That was good, wasn't it? So we think of that kind of voice, but that wasn't the voice. It was a still, first of all, voice. It was still. Still, when I think of that voice, it was just very stable. It wasn't unstable. It wasn't, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It wasn't, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" It was just still. It was a voice that, it wasn't a voice that was losing it. It wasn't a voice that was panicked. It wasn't a voice that was that didn't know what was going on. It was a still voice. Understand, though you might be panicked and though your trials might seem real big and real inconceivable, understand God's not real worried. God's not in heaven panicking. He's not going, "Oh, what are we going to do?" God, your $10,000 that you're worried about is God saying, you're worried about that? Your health problem, God's not saying, what are you going to do? It was just a very still voice. Elijah, what doest thou here? What are you doing here, Elijah? It was a very still, stable. It wasn't a panicked or worried voice. Secondly, it was a small voice. A still, small voice. It wasn't screaming. Notice that voice, all the big noises came, and here comes a great wind. He's in the cave. Here comes a great wind. Rocks are flying. Things are ripping apart. Here comes the earthquake, and everything's shaking, and there's a lot of noise. Imagine wind blowing so hard that rocks and mountains are flying around. That's a loud wind. An earthquake. Boy, if you remember the earthquake we had here about, eight or nine years ago, that was loud. Do you remember the sound of that earthquake? It was loud, that earthquake was. Earthquake was loud, and then fire coming by. But it says God's voice is not in any of these things. It was a small voice. It wasn't a voice that just screamed out to you. I think many times God gets your attention through the earthquakes and the wind and everything else, but many people are not still enough to hear the voice of God because the voice of God is not usually loud. The circumstances around God trying to get your attention with life, he might be loud, but God does not scream. A good parent doesn't have to scream to talk to their children. Their voice should mean enough. Now, a still, small voice of God. Now, we would have done like this. Wow, did you see that? Why, God's speaking. We would have heard his voice. That was awesome. Cool, man. Where's my camera? We would have done all kinds of things. We would have missed the voice of God. And yet, God's voice was a still, small voice. And many people, they know God is calling them. Things are happening in their life where God's screaming at them. And circumstances are in such a way, they know God's trying to get their attention. And so they come to somebody for counsel. They might talk to me and say, Pastor, God's really got my attention now, and I don't know what he wants me to do, but I know he's really got my attention. He's trying to talk to me. Many times, we can't hear the voice of God because it's still noisy for us. And a still small voice, if somebody's talking quietly and still, and you get people's attention with a loud voice, and you also get it with your tone. A still voice does not get people's attention. If I said, your clothes are on fire, you're not going to really listen that much. But the inflection of my voice, the volume of my voice, will make you think something's major here, but God has never panicked. And God shouldn't have to scream at you for you to listen to him. You should be able to listen to this still small voice. So the big thing gets your attention, and God tries to get your attention and says, hello, I'm over here, and the storms come or the trial comes or whatever comes in your life. And then you say, okay, God, you got my attention. Ah, boy, life's so crazy. What am I going to do? And God's sitting there talking to you, and you don't hear this still small voice. One, because you're not listening for it. Number two, it's because it's too noisy still. We live in a very noisy culture. And I think that physically is true, and I think it's also in our souls. We are in a noisy culture. I remember starting this journey of understanding that we have a culture of inattention and a culture of busyness and a culture of a rat race that we can't hear God much. One person really started teaching me this, and that was a guy in Bible college I went to that I worked in the same bus route. He drove a bus for me, and he was a farm boy from way out in the country. And so we started visiting together, and I'd come from a suburb, not the big city, but then went to Chicago and was there and just got busy in Bible college. And I was just busy, 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 busy. I mean, incredibly busy. And Frank wasn't. And he was in no hurry. You ever been around slow-moving people? And you're not slow-moving? I remember Frank was Mr. Track. Everybody got a track with Frank, which is awesome. He's just a great guy. But he's never in a hurry. I remember we would come by and we went to the toll booth. And, you know, go up to the toll booth to talk about that on Sunday. And Frank, everybody else, they got their money ready. They pull there. They go up to the thing. They go up to the person. They hand the money. They get it. Vroom, they take off out of there. Not Frank. He drives up the toll booth, comes to a stop, puts his car in park after he nods to the lady, reaches in his pocket, already cars are honking, reaches over in his glove box, Looked in his ashtray. Oh, there's some money. Pulls it out, a handful. Cars are honking. Then he gets the 40 cents in his hand, and whatever reason, every time he got change, he always shook it. There you go. Ma'am, can I give you something to read? He's going to give her a track. Now, when I give people a track, it's quick draw. Not Frank. Here's Frank. Can I give you something to read, ma'am? Open the glove box again. And he's got multiple different kinds of tracks. He's got Fellowship Track League tracks. He's got to dig through. Looks at her. She's Spanish. No. Cars are honking. I'm sliding down in the seat. By the way, when he gets there, his window wasn't rolled down. He had to roll his window down. Gets it through. Gives him to read, man. Sure, thanks. Have a great day. Rolls the window up. Now, I drive away rolling my window up while I'm going down the road. Not him. He's doing, I'm just so embarrassed. I think, good night. I could have won 10 souls. I could have went into Walmart, bought three things, and been out in the time it takes you to pay a toll. Drove me crazy. I'd visit with somebody. Here's, and on the, I'd be so busy. I'd be like, hi, how you doing? You come to church tomorrow? Okay, have a good day. Oh, pray. Lord, bless him. Amen. And I'm gone. You know, I mean, I was just in a hurry, not Frank. And I went to a Mexican area with him. Mexicans have a wonderful pace of life. It's slower than ours. They like to sit down and eat with you. I'm in a hurry. Hey, come on, sit down. They got food for you. And they get down and they give you something to drink first. Then they go make you something and they bring it to you. They were a different pace than I was too. Then I went out and I delivered for Dunkin' Donuts, and we started delivering to the country towns in Indiana. I went from the big city and I drove 45 minutes out into the cornfields, and I entered a different world. I remember going to this grocery store. All I had needed was a signature. There you go, ma'am. Can you sign this? Well, hi there. You're new here. What's your name? Name's Joel. Oh, it's so good to meet you. Hey, you got a ring. Are you married? Yep, I'm married. Just sign right there, ma'am. Really? How long have you been married? She really wanted to know this stuff. It's a different world. You have kids? You have three kids. How old are they? They are 2, 1, and just born. Man, they are close together. My first kids, let's see. My first one's Susie. My second one's Joshua. They're 16 and 14 now. Oh, man, they are so... Hold on a sec. Look at this. I was just going crazy. I left there. I mean, eventually, I'm just like, ma'am, I gotta go. She's like, oh, okay. Well, next time you come, I come with a little more time. I would like to meet you a little bit. She's the checker at the grocery store. You ever meet people like that? There's whole cities like that. And you know what? It's a wonderful pace of life. And people are quiet. And you can think. But Chicago wasn't that. And it took me a while to get used to that. And Frank taught it to me. And I thought, you know, in history, life was slow. You know what a farmer did? The farmer from Adam and Eve until 1940, 50, 60, somewhere in there, all of history, they sat behind a plow, didn't have anything, any music playing or anything. The lady at home didn't have a CD player. And everything was quiet, and people thought. And you know what? If you're riding a 2-hour wagon ride to town, you have quietness and time to think. You have time for people. Life is slower. But you know people nowadays, they don't have time for anything. And they don't have time to think. Do you ever see a kid walking down the street nowadays without something in his ear? I am not that old, but when I was a kid, you know what we did on the way to school? We didn't have anything in our ear. We would usually, one of the games we would do, you kids are going to think we are just so boring, you'd kick the same rock all the way. How many of you ever kicked a rock all the way and tried to keep the same rock the whole way? See, that's living right there, let me tell you. That beats an iPod any day. And And you know what? Your brain was just thinking about something besides, you know, the guy who stands there with the sign, you know, $5 pizzas. I mean, everybody, he doesn't got the moves I do, but, you know, they do the same thing. But everybody has got so much to do and everybody's got so much in their mind. I mean, I go to people's houses now. This wasn't true 15 years ago in the ministry. I go to people's houses and they know me. I'm their pastor. I'm talking to them. We're having a good time, but I have to talk over the TV. They will not turn off the TV. It just got to be on. I mean, it's just close to me. And they won't turn it off. You know, you ever get like that? You're visiting family. So what I'm talking about, you visit your family and they won't turn off the TV and you're sitting there right, hey, how you doing today? Good, how are you? Shh. Oh. They invite you to come visit so you can watch TV with them. And we're in this society that's never quiet. The radio is always on. The TV is always on. The internet's always on. They always got something in their ear. And our minds never get still and think. And how are we going to hear the voice of God when we are never still and never thinking? We're never quiet. There's and it's a way of life, not just a volume. It's a speed. I am in the rat race. I'm a busy, busy man. I've been busy for 20 years. Okay? I have got to figure out how to be still and be quiet. And it's very hard. Because Jess grew up that way, but I didn't. And he could do that all day. Jess could sit on a log overlooking a creek, couldn't you? And sit there for 6 hours. I'm like, give me a hatchet or something. I cut this thing. Oh, I can't do that. And you know what? I've slowed down from most of our culture. But you know what? I get in my car. And you know what I do? Turn on the radio most of the time. I just like to learn things and hear things. I'm interested in anything from sports to finances to anything in the world. I love learning that. And I love to read. And my brain's so busy that when I lay in bed, I can't just lay in bed. I will never fall asleep. I've got to read. Because my mind just goes a million miles per hour. And I'm just... And I think I'm like that. But I look at the rest of our culture and I say, how do you ever hear God's voice? You're never listening. Your mind is constantly occupied. If I said, we're going to sit in church today for 15 minutes and not do anything, most of you would start squirming in about 30 seconds. Because we don't know how to sit and be quiet and be still. You know, a good relationship, sometimes you can just sit by each other and not even say anything. Without the TV on, that's what I'm talking about there. That's not what I mean. I mean, you just sit quietly and are around each other. And the voice of God was very quiet. Elijah panicked, was busy, exhausted, troubled, overwhelmed. But God was not. And don't expect God to go and say, I'm going to change the whole way I am. God says, I'm the Lord, I change not. I still want to speak to you quietly and with a still small voice. And your mind is too troubled, you're too panicked. And Elijah ran out in the wilderness and just was panicked. I might as well die, I don't know what to do. God said, what are you doing here? I'm the only one serving God. Nobody else is serving God. And I'm all alone and I don't know what to do. And there's nobody else. Everybody's bowing me to Baal. And I'm the last one left. And Jezebel wants to kill me. What are you doing here, Elijah? Did you hear me? You're way too relaxed, God. I'm panicked. Everything's wrong. I'm depressed and worried. And look at all my problems. I got this. God says, okay. Now, what are you doing here, Elijah? When I was in Bible college, I remember I had one real bad day. I was a freshman. I had a bunch of bad days, but I had one bad day, I remember. And I was a freshman, and it was just a weird day because I had the keys the entire college. I was a maintenance. I had the entire college keys, every room in that college. I lost those keys. And I was having some financial problems, and I missed a test that day. And I don't know why, but I thought the world was going to end. Boy, if I could only have those problems now. And boy, I thought it was the end of the world. And I remember I was just so panicked and so worried and so frustrated. And there was no reason for it, but I was just troubled. And I remember my supervisor came to me. His name was Bill Graham, of all names. And came to me and says, "How you doing?" I said, "Terrible. It's the worst day of my life." And he says, "What's going on?" And I ran through my problems about to tell him, and I thought, that's a pathetic pile of problems. That's not the worst day of my life. But he is very calm. He says, "What's going on?" I said, so I tried to make him think it was really bad. "I lost the keys to every room in the entire college." "Okay, what else?" "I wanted them to be stressed like me. Don't you understand? And I got this bill, and I don't have the money, and it's just terrible." And already I was embarrassed. I already thought, what a wimp. I'm pathetic. When somebody who's calm comes, you can kind of, when they're not panicked. Wouldn't it be the worst thing in the world? A child calls their parents and says, "Oh, look, I got a cut on my arm, I'm going to die." And the parents said, "Oh, you are going to die! Ah!" But somebody needs to be calm. I mean, you go to the doctor and say, what's going to happen, doctor? "I don't know! You're in trouble! What are we going to do? Ah!" That'd be awful. But God never does that. God just, "What's going on? Oh, you have cancer? So, why are you so worried?" God has power and often gets attention through fireworks, but you have to be still to listen. Learn to be still and quiet in a crazy and very noisy world. Let me give you just two thoughts about still and quiet. Number one, the Lord likes the quiet life. The Lord likes the quiet life. Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. By the way, Elijah would not have heard the still, small voice of God if he would have been panicking and screaming and yelling. It would have been too noisy for him. So if you've been brought up in this city like I have, you've got to learn God likes the quiet life. Say, "But I'm not comfortable with that." Doesn't matter. You just got to do it. You just got to learn to be quiet and still. Not all the time. You got to be sometimes quiet and still. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, that you may study to be quiet. Interesting. You're supposed to study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. It says you need to be study to be quiet. Go to 1 Timothy, just forward a couple pages there, chapter 2. It says you're supposed to pray for your leaders in verse 1. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Bible likes you, God likes the quiet life. Let me take you back to Psalms and read just some verses out of there. Psalms 131, just a short psalm. I'm going to read several. I don't have that many. I only have 2 points for the message, but I want to read several passages to give you God's idea of just the way he kind of wants us to just quiet down. And I'm not just talking volume. I mean your soul is troubled like Elijah. You're panicking, thinking, "Oh, what am I going to do?" And you never just... Remember when people's devotions used to be called quiet time? You know, people don't even turn their cell phones off anymore if they have devotions, and most of them don't have devotions. They still got their cell phone on. They're texting and saying, "Okay, God, speak to my heart." And our souls are troubled, our minds are everywhere. We don't think about God. Psalms 131, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, nor in things too high for me." It's a lot in there I don't have time to preach on. "Surely I behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth forevermore." First of all, be quiet when you don't know. Be quiet when you don't know. This verse 2, when it says, "I behaved myself and quieted myself," the word "quiet" there is a fascinating word. The word means to stop and be astonished. He says, "I don't behave myself. I don't get involved in things that are too high for me and things I don't understand. I quiet myself." And that is like a child weaned from its mom that is astonished. In other words, a child goes, "What does that mean? What are you talking about, Pastor?" I mean, there's times in your life where you're troubled because you have to understand everything. And you're just, "Oh, why is this happening?" And God just says, you don't know. You aren't going to know. Ask Job. Just sit back and say, my heart is not lifted up in things too high for me. I don't understand this is happening. I don't know. I'll just be still and wait for God. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to have a quiet soul. Don't run around in panic when you don't know what to do. Don't run around in panic when you don't know what's going to happen. Sit there like a child being with, like a baby being with her mother, and just says, okay, for some reason the food is taken away, but I don't know. I'll just trust mom. Some of you need to learn to just sit, and when you don't understand, just not panic and just be quiet. You don't need to go give somebody advice when you don't know what's really happening. Sometimes you just say, I don't know. Don't try and guess and seem intelligent when you aren't. It's better to keep your mouth shut and have somebody think you're a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Quietly wait for God to deliver you. First, we said be quiet when you don't know. Secondly, quietly wait for God to deliver you. Go to Lamentations. Just a couple books forward. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2. Quietly wait for God to deliver. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's it. What am I going to do? No, it's, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to sit and quietly wait for God. You know how hard it is for us to quietly wait peacefully for things? We don't have an answer. We panic. We worry. It says, quietly and patiently wait for God to deliver you. Next, repentance brings quietness to your soul. Go to Isaiah. Repentance brings, it's back to Isaiah, I should say. Repentance brings quietness to your soul. See, many of your souls are not quiet, and I'm not talking verbally. I'm talking inside your soul. It's a troubled soul, constantly worried and panicked and stressed and worried, and there's never quietness in your soul. We just sit and listen to a creek. You never just quietly just wait for God. You never have a quiet soul. Your soul is always filled with wonders and anger and frustrations and noise. And it's just a, you know what I'm talking about if that's you. But that is fixed when you repent and get right with God. When you're not right with God, your soul is very troubled. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Isaiah 30, verse 15. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye have said, no, we will flee upon the horses. Therefore ye shall flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. I love it. You say, I got this problem. I'm going to run around and get everything done. I'm going to fix all my problems. I'm going to run around and get my life settled. You're trying to get on a horse that's very swift, and God says, therefore the horses that pursue you are going to be very swift. And you in the rat race don't get any farther. You're the hamster. I'll run faster. You're not getting anywhere. Well, then I'll run faster. It says, in quietness and peace. But repent and get right with God. That's the reason many times your soul is in turmoil. Chapter 32, verse 15 of Isaiah. Until the Spirit of the Lord be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in a fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Before this, they're in great trouble, but repentance brings quietness to your soul. And it just brings that to your soul. Next, a quiet life. A quiet life when focused on God. Your life becomes quiet. It says that the mind of my mind is stayed on thee. So you have a quiet life when you get focused on God. And it says, blessed are those whose mind is stayed on thee. Number one, we said the Lord likes the quiet life. Number two, the Lord often needs us to be still. Go back to Psalms here. The Lord often needs us to be still. Just a couple thoughts on this. Psalms chapter 4. Be still for a moment. Again, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just going to walk slow and work slow. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm going to talk about peace in your soul and quietness and stillness. I'm talking about a way of life where you have time to sit down and listen to God, that if the still small voice of God speaks, you can hear a still small voice, because you are not constantly in turmoil and panic and noise and music and everything of life. In the busy society we are, is always screaming over the voice of God. God's voice is usually quiet, and you need to calm down, sometimes get out of town, sometimes just turn everything off, read your Bible and pray and get with God for a while. And sometimes just be quiet with God and listen. Psalms 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear me when I call. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in mine heart more than at the time of their corn and wine increase. I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, O Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Be still, and God, because God's going to take care of you. Psalms 46. Just be still. God will take care of you. Be still. Quit trying to stress out and worry about every little thing and every little thing everybody said about you and everything happened in life and every worry you have. Just be still for a moment. Sit still. Trust God. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Just read that said. Don't read that lightly. We will not be afraid, though all of a sudden Mount Rainier and the Cascades fly over us and land in the ocean. We'll say, cool. Wow. Wonder why God let that happen. What about the tsunami? What about... God wants me to die, I'll die. That's why John Wesley got saved watching people in a storm singing praise to God, why the mast fell on the ship and the ship was being tossed and water was coming in, and they never even broke their song. They just kept singing. The Moravians. We're not worried about it. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place and the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. They uttered their voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease in the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Wow, everything's going terrible. There's wars, there's troubles, there's trials. Iran might get nukes. The president's doing this thing. Way too many Christians are way too panicked about our government right now. Oh, what's going to happen to our government? What's going to happen? Where are we going to go? What's going to happen? Terrorists. Oh, they're going to. We're socialists. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it with us whoever he will. You need to panic. Pastor, what are we going to do? We're going to go to church. We're going to read our Bibles. We're going to pray. We're going to love our families. We're going to have a great day. We're going to enjoy the wind and the sun today, and we're going to live another day. And if all of a sudden Russia's going to nuke us tomorrow, what are we going to do? We're going to be still and know that he is God. He's going to end all wars. He's going to fix the universe. Everything's going to be fine. No reason to panic. No, you be still. Be still. Be still in your mind when you have prayed about things. Look at James chapter 1. It'll be the last passage we turn to. James chapter 1. Just learn to be still. By the way, if you know how to be quiet and you know and everything, is your soul quiet? Or do you get troubled? James chapter 1. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that trying your faith worketh patience, But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's why most Christians don't get complete. They won't learn patience and let it finish working in them. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which they give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wind on the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let that not that man think he should receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Here's what you do. Lord, I'm very worried about this chair. Here's what you do most of the time. The chair. And look on the internet, chairs, and how to deal with the problems of chairs. What are we going to do? A chair. And that's your problem. You just stare at it all day and think about it and worry and fluster. And this problem is so big, I can't see around it. Yeah, because you shove it in your face all day. And here's what you should do. This chair I don't have a solution for, Lord, is too small for me to sit on. And I say, Lord, I don't know about this chair. Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Lord, I pray for this chair. I pray you take care of it. Okay, you know what? I got to go to work today. Now what do I got to do? Aren't you worried about the chair? I left it with God. Well, what if God doesn't answer the prayer? The man who does that, God says, don't expect anything from me. After that, I'm asking faith, nothing wavering. Don't expect anything from God if you're going to take that. God, what is going to happen if you don't do this? What is going to happen if... God says, it's yours now. You took it back. Leave it there. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Don't worry. Be still in your mind when you pray about it. It's in God's hands. Don't keep worrying about it. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. They were panicked and not still. And he got up and said, knock it off. I'm fine. I'm in the boat. It ain't going to sink. But the storm, peace be still. All right, got it? Unbelievers? Okay, I'm going back to sleep. God's never panicked. He gets frustrated when we're panicked and not stable and still. So many stories about that. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Jesus, that's a good thing. Are you able to hear the still small voice of God because you're still enough and your life is quiet enough? Or have you allowed this world system and this world's way of life make you have a clogged, cluttered, noisy mind that cannot sit still, cannot be quiet, and your mind is full of noise and jargon and everything else going around, and you're not hearing the voice of God because you're too noisy? Be still. Repent, get right with God, you'll get peace. And you can be still and be quiet and turn everything off sometimes and spend time with God and just be still. But I got this be still. Be still. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that Lord, that conversation, we could have went more into that conversation with Elijah, Lord, and how you just kept telling him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Father, you were so calm about it, and then you just told him, okay, go into this city now and do this. He was panicked and worried and running and frustrated, and you had everything under control. He was going to meet Elisha. Everything was going to be fine. But we many times get like him and we're like the seas. We're like a big windy day. We're panicked and running around, and our minds never get to hear your voice, and our souls are troubled and noisy, and we get mad and angry at you and ask why you didn't talk, Lord. But you were talking. We just weren't still and quiet enough.